This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Your number is 877-217-5757. And today is the one-year anniversary of the riot at the Capitol, the insurrection, the attack, invasion of the U.S. Capitol. President Biden addressed America today, saying that we cannot accept political violence as a norm. Continuing, are we going to be a nation where we allow partisan election officials to overturn the legally expressed will of the people? Are we going to be a nation that lives not by the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies? And some remarks have surfaced in the last minutes from members of our delegation and Republicans, and John Kennedy, who at times we know can be over the top, actually has an eloquent statement saying, without order, there can be no justice. The violence at the U.S. Capitol 1 year ago is as despicable and shameful now as it was then. Those Washington rioters should continue to answer for their crimes without exception, as should everyone who has committed violence as part of mobs or political riots. Louisianians must embrace the democratic process and reject rogue violence because we understand that we are a nation of laws. America must always choose this path. Now, Steve Scalise, the ranking Republican from Louisiana in the U.S. House of Representatives, the number two person in the minority of the House, says, unfortunately, rather than get to the bottom of the security failures that allowed the Capitol to be breached, Speaker Pelosi chose to politicize the January 6th Select Committee and undermine its credibility by taking the unprecedented step of unilaterally rejecting Republican members Jim Banks and Jim Jordan, who were selected to serve on the committee. Instead, she has turned it into political theater designed to distract. That from Steve Scalise. Now, the reason that Speaker Pelosi did not put those people on the committee was because they are part of the investigation. And you wouldn't want the investigators investigating those who may very well have been responsible for this in part. And with us to talk about it is Dane Sherman, blogger, professor from Southeastern Louisiana University. He was to have been joined today by Quinn Hillier, the Republican conservative columnist, lives in Mobile by way of New Orleans. But Quinn has tested positive for COVID. And last night told me he would be unable to answer the bell, and he's been with us many times, and we wish Quinn well in his recovery. But Dane Sherman, your thoughts about what happened a year ago and the remarks today from the president and those who represent us, the people of Louisiana, on Capitol Hill.
Jim, Monday, January 6, 2020, to use FDR's words, will be a day that lives in infamy. This is one of the lowest days in American history. I think any sane person, American, looking at this should look at this as one of the most horrible things that could happen to our republic. And we need to do everything we can to get to the bottom of who was pushing this and also to prevent it from ever happening again.
Garrett Graves, who represents the area where our studio is located in the Baton Rouge area. He is the District 6 congressman. He commented about this and, of course, took note that only two GOP members are on the panel investigating. Here's Congressman Graves.
This is not designed to actually provide solutions. It's designed to try and get political points. We do have a country to run. We've got real priority issues, and we've got to stay focused on solutions, not all this political theater.
All right. Well, Graves is choosing to accent the fact that Jim Jordan's not on the committee and the other gentleman, Jim Banks. But as mentioned, they are being investigated for being part of the insurrection. Whether that's true or not, we don't know, not yet anyway, but if they're being investigated, it would be inappropriate for them to pass judgment on themselves. It would seem to be a common sense measure, and the Republicans offered no alternatives other than the people who came forward themselves and were chosen by Speaker Pelosi. She was willing to have a balanced panel, but they chose to try to put two people on who, as we know, supported the overturning of the election. Now, Dane Sherman, it would seem that Garrett Graves, who comes across as a moderate and intelligent man, he's a hard worker, represents perhaps the most erudite city in the state of Louisiana. It would seem he might take a different path, but he's digging in. Your thoughts?
You know, Garrett Graves, I really think that the best commentary on Garrett Graves came from retired General Russell Honore on your show when he said that, you know, if a person in his district, a constituent, has a problem with a light on the street, he'll go deal with it. But when it comes to what's going on in Washington, Garrett Graves and my representative, Steve Scalise, neither of those men are going to do anything that's going to buck Kevin McCarthy, that's going to buck the status quo Donald Trump party. And that's really sad. What good is Garrett Graves in Washington if he's not going to do just basic Democratic representation of his district? And he doesn't. And it's really sad. At least over on the Senate side, Cassidy and Kennedy have said what needs to be said, that this was a horrible attack. And don't make the content of the select committee the issue. The Republicans refused to send reasonable people that were not being investigated to serve on that panel. And that's a sad indictment of Garrett Graves.
As we look back over the last several elections, and the last two, of course, have been the most searing because they involved Donald Trump, and he lost the overall vote in both elections by sizable margins, almost 3 million the first time and well over 7 million the second time. So a combined loss as far as overall votes by 10 million for Donald John Trump. But the Republicans, since 1992, have lost every election in the overall vote except 2004, and that election was much closer as far as the vote than the one that Donald Trump is claiming that was stolen. And that was John Kerry's defeat to George Bush when Bush was running for re-election. So that's 8 elections, and Democrats have won the vote 7 times and yet have only scored victory 5 times. And yet we've got this case in which people are crying voter fraud, and this, as I've stated, is about the same margin of victory that George H.W. Bush had over Michael Dukakis. What does this do as far as setting the stage for 2024, Dane?
Well, what's happened, Jim, is that the Republican Party has a terrible demographic problem, and that is their voting core tends to be white and old. And that those numbers are going down versus other minority groups growth, as well as younger people. And so they're having less and less of the pie. And that leads me to something that one of my friends has said. In her view, the most important thing we have to look after was not necessarily just the fighting of somebody storming the Capitol, but that we lose our democracy by not having broad voting protection. And the Republican Party, knowing that less for them is more all through the United States and these state legislatures, they're trying to pass laws and have passed laws to limit the rightful vote of the people. And that's something we have to fight tooth and nail. If we don't have the vote and our votes are not counted, then we will not have a representative republic, a democracy at all.
877-217-5757 and talk@talklouisiana.org. I have some emails, but we always enjoy hearing from you if you're so inclined. And this is a day in which America is reflecting on what happened 1 year ago. It was 2 weeks before the inauguration of Joe Biden, and Donald Trump was trying to stop that at all costs and said, go to the Capitol, tell them you're mad as hell. And the president at that time, Mr. Trump, chose not to go to the Capitol and chose not to do anything for a couple of hours as the Capitol was being stormed by his supporters. Now, a story in the New York Times yesterday reads like this. False claims of voter fraud surged on podcasts before the Capitol attack. Weeks before the 2020 presidential election, conservative broadcaster Glenn Beck outlined his prediction for how Election Day would unfold. President Trump would be winning that night, but his lead would erode as, quote, dubious mail-in ballots arrive, giving Joe Biden an unlikely edge. No one will believe the outcome because they've changed the way we're electing a president this time. That's what Beck said. None of the predictions of widespread voter fraud came true, but podcasters frequently advanced the false belief that the election was illegitimate, first as a trickle before the election and then as a tsunami in the weeks leading up to the violent attack at the Capitol on January 6th. Researchers at the Brookings Institution reviewed transcripts of 1,500 episodes from 20 of the most popular political podcasts, and among episodes released between the election and the January 6th riot, about half contained election misinformation. So this was something that was premeditated, and if we go back to 2016, Donald Trump was saying almost exactly the same thing leading up to the election that he won over Hillary Clinton, albeit he lost the popular vote by right at 3 million votes to Clinton. We'll be back and talk more with Dane after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on the one-year anniversary of the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. So far, about 800 people have been arrested. 225 have been accused of attacking or interfering with the police. 275 have been charged with obstructing Congress's duty to certify the election vote count. And 300 have been charged with petty crimes, mostly trespassing and disorderly conduct. There is the expectation from the government, which estimates that as many as 2,500 people could be charged with federal crimes in the attack on the Capitol. And they're looking at high places, this committee is, as to who may be culpable. Do you think we'll get to the bottom of this, Dane Sherman?
I think we will by the summer. I'm very hopeful. I think Benny Thompson is doing a really good job on this select committee. He's a Democratic representative from Mississippi. He's the chair. Liz Cheney, I thought I'd never be saying this, but she's taking it on the chin for democracy, and she's doing a really outstanding job trying to get to the bottom of what happened. And I think ultimately the truth, I know that there's probably going to be as many as 2,500 people that stormed the Capitol and did something illegal, but you also have to get to the core of why and who and when. And, you're finding people like Sean Hannity saying privately by text, Trump has got to call off the dogs here and get this to stop. It's ruining our brand. It's going to hurt the Republican Party. And then publicly he's saying on Fox, it's Antifa. And so that's the kind of ridiculous nature we have of the people like the podcasters you're talking about that are leading the conversation. And why are almost all these people college dropouts? Jim, I don't understand this. Both you and I went to LSU. I, of course, got a master's degree from LSU. But it seems like mostly, other than your particular program, the country is listening to these college dropouts tell them what's happening.
And we have two members of our congressional delegation who are college dropouts, too. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning.
Hey, I kind of agree with Dane. We got to get to the core of the problem, and that's this, we got mail-in voting. Democrat Party doesn't want voter ID. I mean, it's very easy to sway an election with only 500 South, maybe 1,000 votes in some of these swing states. And, you just collect some of these ballots through assisted living facilities, some of these churches. They print out the ballots. The envelopes are a little more difficult, but you can get it. You can sway these votes. And I don't like the mail-in voting.
All right. Well, in Oregon, they have been doing mail-in voting exclusively, and there hasn't been a problem noted. But people are wary of that. And, of course, we have people saying the voting machines are corrupt as well. All of this has not been proved, even though there have been investigations. And, Dane, no election, not one state election, was decided by fewer than 10,000 votes. So it was, in the overall scheme, not a close election. And Mitch McConnell said it was a landslide, that Biden won in a landslide. Is this Trump's ego? Is this what fueled all this?
I think it mostly, I don't think it was just one thing. I want to go back to Patrick's comment, and it's a canard. It's said over and over. it's funny that the United States military has been voting by
mail,
paper ballot, mail for over 100 years. And nobody questions that. But when the average citizen who's dealing with a frickin' pandemic, which I hope Quinn as well, I know more people right now with COVID than I knew at any other point, by the way. And I'm thankful that that I've gotten my booster shot and I feel a lot more. And I'm wearing my mask all the time. But digressing, I understand why people are scared to go to the polls, simply because of the fact that it's a once in a 100-year event taking place with this pandemic, and it's scary. And certainly we need to make it easier for people to legally vote than harder to legally vote. And no, the election was not even close.
Well, we're always glad to hear from Patrick. Hope he keeps calling, and it's good to hear from a man who's as passionate on his side of the political fence as some of our guests and callers are on the other side. Henry at the Country Club. Henry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Professor Dane. You know, I was curious, Mr. Jim, when you read that quote from Senator Kennedy this morning, you're making a really learned man out of our friend Roy Fletcher. Because remember when he told you, well, that boy finally learned how to read a poll about Kennedy. Apparently he's reading the polls and see that America's not about this lawlessness.
All right. Well, John Kennedy today is taking the high road. And whether that'll continue is probably dependent upon reading a poll. And in Louisiana, as we know, President Trump remains popular. And today, front page of the New York Times, Henry and Dane, it says the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump did so with the same conviction that a president of their party deserved to be charged with inciting insurrection and the same hope that his role in doing so would finally persuade the GOP to repudiate him. But in the years since the deadliest attack at the Capitol in centuries, none of the 10 lawmakers have been able to avoid consequences of a fundamental miscalculation about the direction of their party. The former president is very much the leader of the Republicans, and it is those who stood against him whom the party has thrust into the role of pariah. And I think that explains some of the moves made by Congressman Scalise, Congressman Graves. They know better, but Dane, they're not willing to pay the political consequences.
No, and one, you know, you have to give it to your neighbor, Senator Cassidy. He came out and he's not changed the story on that. He said this is wrong. The president's wrong, and he stuck to it. And I think in the long run, he's going to be one of the ones remembered for doing the right thing and standing up. And Senator Kennedy, who's been, you know, kind of sheepish or the very opposite of his statement today, he will not be remembered well.
And Garrett Graves turns 50 on January 31st. He's, by political standards, a young man going places. But 30 years from now, when he's 80, and which I'll probably be long gone, how will history judge him for this vote, for voting to negate the election, for voting for no investigation into the insurrection, and then for issuing a statement on the one-year anniversary blaming essentially Nancy Pelosi? Think about it.
I think he's going to be remembered like Bobby Jindal. And basically, none of us remember him well. And because he did everything for political calculations. And he, too, is a young man, younger than slightly younger, I think, than Graves, or maybe they're right around the same age.
Just a few months older. Jindal was born June of 71 and Graves January of 72. But, yeah, they're of the same vintage.
That's right. I'm an old man. I turn 52 tomorrow. But we're in the same age range. But look at Bobby Jindal. He's remembered. He is a pariah in this state. And people despise him. And they have no good memories of the guy because he did everything for political expediency and never did the right thing. And I think Graves need to think about that. If he's listening to this show, and I doubt he is, but if he is listening to this show, he needs to remember that it's better to go for the long run and be effective than just look at the poll like Kennedy and just make every decision based on the latest poll.
David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on with Dane. Good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, you know, it's time we put the truth on the table. The core of the Republican Party is racist. Trump has appointed people in high positions in government who are clearly white nationalists. He said the neo-Nazis in Charlotte were good people. Now, people like Steve Scalise, who was elected from a district that gave us David Duke, Steve Scalise, a black woman, took a bullet for him, and Steve Scalise evidently has this serious support and love affair with Trump because his constituents are racist. Let's admit it. This country has a severe problem in the Republican Party with vile, stinking, rotten
racism. There's racism in all quarters, including some, believe it or not, David, in the Democratic Party. But on the whole, some would say the Republican Party, Mr. Trump in particular, and by extension his acolytes, they've embraced some really shady characters, Dane.
They have, and from Stephen Miller on down. It's really sad.
Okay, we do have to take a break, but we will return. Spend a few more minutes with Dane Sherman, and then hear from the remarkable Mark Ballard, 877-217-5757, back after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Alondra Villarreal is producing. It was a tumultuous year that started with a bang at the Capitol. People did die on January 6th a year ago. And there may be as many as 2,500 arrests when all is said and done. So far, 800 arrests. And the president of the United States at that time, with 2 weeks to go in his term, after losing an election in a landslide, asked his supporters to go to the Capitol and do exactly what they did. And they practically tore it apart. And they were trying to kill, some of them were, the vice president of the United States, the most loyal person to Donald John Trump, Mike Pence, because he was assigned as vice president to certify the election. And Mike Pence told him, the president, Donald Trump, that he could not do anything other than that, that he had to follow the Constitution. And President Trump, according to those who were there, said, Mike, you have to decide whether you want to be a patriot or another P word. And Mike Pence, I'll be eager to see what he has to say today. At first, he, like many others, including Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell, they were pounding away at President Trump, Dane Sherman. But I suspect now that Mike Pence will be very cautious in what he says about his former boss.
Yeah, he will. As they say in the country, Mike Pence is as scared of Donald Trump as a two-headed rattlesnake. He is fearful of Trump. He did this one thing in defiance, and he knows that Trump has an incredible amount of sway, almost like a cult leader, over his party. And he wants to do the right thing, but he's not that apt to be bold in the future.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Dane. Good morning, Dan.
Morning. Yes, the reason that there's no political consequence is because, in fact, there are a basket of deplorables, some of whom showed up at the Capitol a year ago today.
Okay, and I think the word there, the operative word, is some, because, for example, in Louisiana, we love this state, we live here. Donald Trump won this state by 400,000 votes, and there was no voter fraud. He won this state by 400,000 votes. And he won the white vote by more than 80% of the vote. But does that make Dane, and Dan by extension, if you're still there, does that make every white person who voted for Donald Trump an evil person? I don't think so. But some people are crazies, as there are some crazies on the other side of the political aisle. But what about the fact that in Louisiana, if you're white, and if you're a white man, it goes up to about 90%, 9 out of 10 white guys in Louisiana voted for Trump. Dane Sherman, your thoughts?
It's a little perplexing, Jim. I can't always understand it completely, but it seems that I don't know if it's just toxic masculinity, to use a word that maybe doesn't get batted around enough. He has a sway over people, and I don't necessarily think that all Trump voters are racist or crazies, but he has an incredible sway over people, particularly white males in the South.
Last call for Dane Sherman, and then we go to Mark Ballard, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, sorry to keep you waiting, but you have the floor. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning, Jim. You know, this kind of looks like the will go down in history with the same enmity that the film The Birth of a Nation did. The Birth of a Nation was about the birth of the KKK and glorified white nationalism. Thank God that this riot was recorded, and maybe the revolution will be televised. I mean, otherwise, there's so much lying going on. We have it all on tape. It's just insane, but... Okay. Hopefully, Trump will go to jail. I doubt that he will. Well, I'll be shocked if he does.
I doubt that he will either. And I sure whether he deserves it or not, I think any president of the United States that goes to jail, that would be a horrible circumstance for the country. And it is time to move on, but it is hard to move on. And I'll give Mr. Trump credit, Dane. He's not saying anything today. He did have a pep rally scheduled. That's been canceled. Maybe he has come to his senses.
I wouldn't go too far with your enthusiasm, Jim, but
my enthusiasm.
Don't be overly zealous, Jim. I mean, I don't want to have to check your college transcripts now because don't be overly zealous, but maybe he, you know, who knows? Who knows what goes on between his ears? I don't know all the time.
Well, one thing is for sure. He has conquered the world. He's in everybody's head. He said to Mike Wolff, who was a guest on our show, the other Mike Wolff, who's written a few books about Trump, that the reason he wanted to be president is he wanted to be the most famous person in the world. And to that, he has accomplished his mission, Dane Sherman.
He has done that and much more, but I would soon have someone less famous in the future.
Okay. Well, thank you, and always good to catch up. Happy birthday, Dane. Thank you, my friend. We're joined now by Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, and we will touch on some other matters with Mark, but it was a tumultuous year, as noted, and it started here in Baton Rouge and in Louisiana. We had a year of carnage like no other, but on a national level, it's hard to ignore what happened on 6 January 2020, Mark.
It is. I mean, it was shocking, I've got to say, just shocking, but we need to remember that there is a large majority of Republicans that don't believe that it is that the Democratic Party is overstating and exploiting January 6th for their own political goals. And that I think what this all shows is that there is a very isolated and competing groups of with their own facts.
Well, those same people who share that belief are the same people who say that Trump won the election. And as stated, this was not a close election. Biden got 306 electoral votes. He got 7 million and change more votes than Trump nationally. He won every state that he won by more than 10,000 votes. No state was a razor-thin margin like Florida in 2000, which was when it was 532 votes, and the Supreme Court stopped a recount that quite likely would have made Albert Arnold Gore the president. Trump didn't have anything like that to hang his hat on. Just this statement, which has been disproved over and over and over.
And over again.
That it was a fraud, and he doesn't have people in his own party taking him to task with few exceptions.
And I think that's the problem that they it's almost become a litmus test for the Republican Party as to whether or not you believe that the that Joseph Biden stole the election and that he's a fraudulent president. And two-thirds of the Republican Party have adopted that belief, despite the fact that there is no evidence at all that fraud was undertaken in any state.
No evidence of widespread voter fraud, and also no evidence that if there was voter fraud, in fact, the few cases that have been proved, more of them have involved fraud on behalf of Trump than for Biden. This is assuming that every ballot that was, quote, fraudulent was cast on behalf of Joe Biden and that every ballot cast for Donald Trump was on the up and up. It is a bizarre scenario, but people who are far smarter than Mr. Trump have bought into it and are carrying the water for him. Charlotte in Iberia Parish, you're on with Mark. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning. Jim, this question is for you in reference to a statement you made a few minutes ago. Why, if POTUS 45 is held accountable for inciting the violence, either at his rally and on January 6th, would it be bad for the country instead of adhering to the no one is above the law? And in his own supporters' words, lock him up instead of lock her up.
Well,
you make a
valid point, and I was not saying that he should not be prosecuted. I just said it would be a sad day for America if we had any president, Democrat or Republican, go to jail. And that was a call that Gerald Ford made back in the year of 1974 when he pardoned Richard Nixon on September 9th of that year, and it quite likely cost Ford the election. Remember, Mark, he said this national nightmare must end, and he tried to get rid of it, and it haunted him, and he lost a close election to Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, he did that, and mixing up or saying that Poland was not under the communist axis, but
he did say that.
Yes, I do think that his pardoning of Nixon probably played a major role in his loss to Jimmy Carter.
And as much as we chide people like Biden and Trump for being past their prime and not ready for prime time any longer, remember 1976, Mark and I were teenagers, but we can remember it. Not only did President Ford say that Poland was not under the communist axis, but Jimmy Carter said he was in favor of neighborhoods with ethnic purity. This great liberal, Jimmy Carter, wanted neighborhoods that were segregated. And he also said that he lusted in his heart for women other than his wife. And he did so. He made this revelation on the pages of Playboy magazine. And today, if something like that were to happen with a 24-hour news cycle, both of them would be pilloried from top to bottom, and we would be talking about it for days on end. But in those days, it was a one-day story, and it was over. And that has the news cycle has not only changed how gaffes get covered, Mark, but it also has enabled things like January 6th to take a life of their own. And the preparation was largely on the World Wide Web.
It was for people who were watching that there was a lot of commentary about what they were going to do to stop the Electoral College count. And so it seemed why the FBI and the Capitol Police didn't see it too, or if they did, why they didn't react to it, is one of the big questions about January 6th.
877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard. We'll talk more and go to the phones again, starting with Kevin in North Baton Rouge after this brief pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief from The Advocate, is with us, and we have some folks who want to talk about the events of January 6th at the nation's capital a year ago, and we've got some emails, too, at talk@talklouisiana.org. Kevin in North Baton Rouge, I know you've been waiting a while. You're on with Mark. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Oh, yes, I was just wanted to say, we let people don't let everybody get away. Nobody never gets prosecuted for what they do. And if them was Muslims or black people did that on January the 6th, it would have been body bags all over that Capitol.
All right.
And the body bags, and they would still be convicting people from what they are saying and doing today.
I think you're right. If it were black people, there would have been a shootout at the Capitol, and there would have been hundreds of people dead, no doubt about that. That's hardly anything that is up for conjecture. It's a state of mind in America. But these were white people. They weren't Antifa. They weren't Black Lives Matter people disguised. They were Trump supporters, and they stormed the Capitol. And some of them were up to no good, to the point where if they had the chance, they probably would have killed Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence. Now, Greg Pallast, Mark, who's a good journalist, investigative guy, he sends a note with this scenario. He says, take a red pill And join me in the future of reading of the electoral vote. The year is 2025. It's 1 p.m. on January 6th, and Vice President Kamala Harris has begun opening envelopes with the electoral vote from each state alphabetically. When she reaches Georgia, its new Republican Senator Herschel Walker objects to accepting Harris's choice of the slate of electors pledged to Joe Biden, the slate submitted by Georgia's Governor Stacey Abrams. Instead, Senator Walker demands Harris count the vote of the slate submitted by Georgia's GOP-controlled legislature with the electors committed to Donald Trump. Republicans holding the majority in the House since the 2022 midterms have rejected Biden's electors from Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Vice President Harris is therefore compelled to invoke the Constitution's procedure for disputed elections outlined in the 12th Amendment. Under this little-known constitutional process, each state receives but a single vote. Republicans control the congressional delegations of 27 states. Though that represents just a tiny portion of America's voters, Donald Trump wins re-election with a vote of 27 to 23. Trump is inaugurated for a second time on January 20, 2025. Now, this is a doomsday scenario, but there are those who believe this could actually happen, Mark.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how doomsday it is. I mean, it seems that they could very well happen.
And maybe that's why.
Well, people are so concerned. It seems like the Republican legislators around the country, while we've been, paying attention to other things, have passed voting rights legislation that does just that sort of thing, which allows majorities in Republican majorities in their legislature to make those decisions. And I get the feeling that the next time around that President Trump is not going to have a problem with the registrar or with the Secretary of State in Georgia when he needs to find 11,000 more votes.
Steve Wynnum says imprisoning a former president could not possibly make our nation look worse than the January 6th insurrection. And Tracy at the Capitol says the way to have gotten rid of Donald Trump and for the Republicans to move on down the road would have been to convict him on the articles of impeachment, the second impeachment, and that would have done it. That would have gotten rid of him forevermore. He would never be able to run for president again if the constitutional scholars are right. He would be impeached. And Mark, why was that not done? And once again, in our delegation, all of our members voted for keeping Trump in office and not impeaching him, except for Bill Cassidy and, I guess by that time, Troy Carter.
There were seven Republicans who went against the party and voted to in the Senate and voted to convict. And while that was more than ever in history to convict a sitting president of their own party or a president of their own party, it still was not enough to convict him in the impeachment. I thought that was kind of a long haul anyway for that to happen. And those members, was 10 members in the House, 10 Republicans in the House, and seven in the Senate.
It was seven. It was 57 votes to convict, and okay, they needed 67. So it's a high bar.
They've all been pilloried, you know, so that the former President Trump still holds the reins of the Republican Party in this country.
Well, another listener notes that this senator from Missouri, who's represented by Timmy Teeple, the same guy who represented Bobby Jindal, Josh Hawley, he has raised $7 million, according to Morning Edition's report this morning, $7 million since the insurrection, and he is being investigated as being a perpetrator, but he's raised $7 million, so it has worked well for him from a political standpoint in Missouri, which used to be a swing state.
Yeah, I think that it's worked well for a lot of the supporters of Trump, and that's one reason why he's there. I think that one way to get rid of his influence now would be the 2022 elections, and if the Democrats can hold the Congress, then I think that a lot of the Republicans will abandon him. But I do think that's real politique, and I think that's what it's going to take for the Republican parties to kind of get rid of Donald Trump, if that's what they want to do.
Well, as we look ahead to 2022, when John Kennedy will be seeking re-election, Luke Mixon is the lone candidate now, and he's making the rounds today, stating that this is a terrible thing. And John Kennedy is noted, also said the same thing, although, as we noted, he voted against an investigation, and he voted to negate the election. But John Kennedy today, for one day, maybe it's a sign of him becoming more moderate, as we are in election year, he's toned it down a bit, Mark.
Yeah, I saw that statement, too, and he did tone it down quite a bit, basically saying that they should be prosecuted. And that's a good – and 70 – I believe about 70 of them have already been convicted, but there's about 700 of them that have been indicted that stormed the Capitol last year. And so yes, John Kennedy has toned it down.
He has toned it down.
At least on this issue.
But he is far from over as a political figure in this country. At the age of 70 – he is the oldest U.S. senator from Louisiana since Allen Ellender, who croaked while he was in office in 1972. But John Kennedy likely serve another 6 years unless something happens. And right now, the Democrats are not ramping up to find a candidate with a lot of money. And it'll be Luke Mixon can become a better candidate if he has the money. But Kennedy is a money-raising machine, as we know, Mark.
Indeed, he is, and he's already raised enough money to do a complete campaign. But then, let's also recall that David Vitter had raised more money than everyone who ran against him put together going into the governor's election, and we thought for sure he was going to win. But so, it's politics, and you know, like baseball, you still have to play the game.
Well, you're right. Here, I'm just reading the statement by Donald J. Trump sent to a lot of people, including yours truly. Biden, not President Biden, not Joseph Biden, just Biden is working hard to try and deflect the incompetent job he's doing and has done on the horrible Afghanistan withdrawal, surrender, the borders, COVID, inflation, loss of energy independence, and much more. Everything he touches turns to failure. That's what you get when you have a rigged election. That sent this morning at 9:10 a.m. from the 45th American president, Donald John Trump. Dominic Grand Coteau, we're short on time, but please be brief. You're on with Mark. Hi, Dominic.
Good morning, man. Regarding our Senator Kennedy and his statement today, there's that old saying, actions speak louder than words, and his actions last year are who he is. I wouldn't fall for this changed person right now.
All right. Zach in South Baton Rouge. Zach, good morning. You're on the show with Mark Ballard.
All I would say is ditto. Ditto, ditto. Thank you.
Well, John Kennedy knows that Donald Trump won the election by 400,000 votes. And Donald Trump won far more convincingly in Louisiana in two elections than did John Bel Edwards. And it is interesting, though, that his coattails could not bring Eddie Rasponi to the mansion. Came close, but didn't work. Well, and John Bel Edwards, as we look ahead to this year, and he says he won't be running again for any office unless something changes, he is a survivor, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. And I think that he has shown the Democrats how to win in the Deep South. And not that they've been able to replicate that anywhere else, but it is kind of moderate on most issues and conservative on some and liberal on others.
Well, Mark Ballard, always good to catch up with you. And next week, we'll talk about some other things. And today, as you might expect, the January 6th insurrection is on people's minds and in their hearts and in their voices. And hopefully we've got better times to come. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, and have a good week.
You too, my friend. And signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Until tomorrow for Alondra Villarreal, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned.